Who's right? Both? Do you really believe both can be right and disagree? Huh? How many believe that? How about in an argument in your marriage? How many believe that? How about when your snot-nosed bratty teenager starts taking you on? How many believe that? What about when the union takes you on? How many believe that? Had no hands on that one. With the teenager, we had about 3 hands. With the marriage, we had about 20. See, the more jugular the issue is, the more you don't believe that. That's what takes this internal security, this integrity, this humility, this courage. Because we don't see the world as the world is, we see the world as we are. Okay, I'm going to put the same third picture up and watch you produce synergy. You'll intuitively use the Indian talking stick, I'll guarantee it. Intuitively. You know why? You have humility now. You want to see the other. You're open. You're teachable. You won't judge. You won't condemn. You just seek to understand from within the other's frame of reference. In 1 minute, every person in this room will see them both. You watch. But you cannot scream out, aha, which means synergy has happened, until everyone at your table says, I see them both. Then, unitedly, you beller out as a table, aha, let's practice that. Aha, louder. Aha. Okay. Then you sit down and immediately watch the other tables communicate, and you will see the Indian talking stick. Not in fact, but they'll be using it intuitively until they unitedly say, aha. Now remember, as soon as I put this picture up, as soon as you see them both, don't say, aha. It's not until everyone at your table sees them both. Then, unitedly, you say, aha, loud. Okay, everyone stand up, please. And as soon as your whole table sees them both, the whole table screams out, aha, and sits down, then looks around and see the other tables. Okay, put it up. Look around, look around. Here is the greatest lesson right now. Watch these people. You're seeing authentic communication. You're seeing the key to a happy marriage right now. I mean it. Now watch. We have 2 left. Watch how they're talking with each other. 1 left. Good. You did that in a minute. You produce synergy in a minute. Do you know what happened? The first picture I showed to you for 1 second gave you mental software through which you interpreted the next picture. That's the basis of prejudice. You have any emotional experience that is negative toward anyone else or a group, racial, religious, social, economic, whatever, then you begin to interpret all data to support your judgment. That's called prejudice. Prejudice. Prejudgment. That's the reason for it. And then you get people in Belfast on the Falls Road where I've lived condemning people at Schenkel. You get what's going on between the Arab and the Israeli world today? The hatred being impregnated into the minds and hearts of the children where my children have lived. And you get the same thing happen down in South Africa where one of my children lived for 2 years. Same exact phenomenon, writ large. And the deterioration of the relationship becomes greater than the initial perceptual difference. Okay, let me show you the first picture that was shown to this side of the room. Can you see the woman in that? This is the picture that was shown to this side of the room. Can you see the saxophone player in that? And that composite picture. In my first experience with this at the Harvard Business School, they didn't show pictures like this on slides. They just had at every person's desk a booklet of pictures, and there was only one that was different. One saw a young woman, the other person next to them saw an old woman. And people just went through like this. Put up the composite picture that was shown to us. So everyone looked at that and interpreted it either as a young or an old woman. Then the teacher set up a role play. Those who were A, there was A and a B. Those who are A's, who saw the young woman, you convince B's to have a blind date with your sister and show to him the picture of your sister. This was back when we did not have one woman in our MBA class and very few were married. You convince this roommate of yours to take out your sister. Oh, come on. No, she's lovely. I mean, how old is she? 20. Come on. She's 70, 80 years old. I've never seen an uglier looking hag in my life. Ugly looking, small petite features, a big honking nose. You just, literally, within 1 minute, the class was fighting. Yelling, condemning. It was one of the most powerful object lessons I had ever seen. The original perceptual difference was nothing compared to the way they started to make judgments of each other, began to describe each other's characters and parents. And then the whole audience was so humbled when they realized how they had been softwared by one brief looking at a picture. One group saw, put up the young woman. The other group saw, for one, just like this. That's all it took. And then the composite, and they started fighting. My friends, 95% of all communication problems have their genesis, their beginning, from two sources. One, semantics, how you define terms and words. Two, how you interpret data, perception. The Indian talking stick kills both of those communication difficulties at the very outset. Why? You work within the frame of reference of another. There's nothing sacred about a definition. That's just a symbol of a meaning. And as soon as you come to understand within the other's frame of reference what that symbol means to them, you can work within that. And then you also realize that your perception is a product of how you see the world. It's not a product of the way the world is, it's a product of how you see the world. So people say, this takes time. The opposite, my friends, What takes time is to assume we're on the same page, and then you live with the consequences of not being on the same page forever from then on. And then the decisions that are made compound the original perceptual difference to where you have not only a disagreement, you get into what's called a personality clash, a communication breakdown, to the point that people literally are allergic to each other. They get into each other's presence and they break out. They are so allergic to each other. Have you ever become obsessive about the weakness of a person? You can. And then you begin to see the rest of the world divided by who is with me, and if you're not with me, you're against me. And then you swap war stories. Let me tell you the latest. Really? Let me tell you. Honestly? Let's get together more often and talk about. It's so fun to confess other people's sins. It is. And you look for evidence. You interpret it accordingly. My friends, we're dealing with the skill set to go along with the mindset of the new knowledge worker age. Let's look at the characteristics of this knowledge worker age. These are the great socio-economic shifts, the sea changes, the seismic social-economic shifts, the globalization of markets and technology, the democratization of information and expectations, universal connectivity. It's dissolved industrial lines. You always start with human need, and you have to think creatively. There could be many ways to meet those human needs. Industrial lines are arbitrary. They're artificial. Kind of like that police illustration I used. Those three produce the exponential increase in competition, producing more for less, better quality, lower cost, faster, more innovation. The new wealth is in people, both intellectual and social capital. It's a knowledge worker market. One knowledge worker is worth 1 million customers. You value knowledge workers more than you do customers. You put knowledge workers first. They will produce 1 million customers. That's the new wealth. But the accounting system doesn't say that. You have to add a balanced report card on everybody so that you say to him, what would you think for your responsibility that you're accountable for and paid for, that you include not only the numbers, but your own growth and development, and the growth and development of your team, so you get invested in theirs, and the quality of the relationship of your team, and how well this team interacts with this team that you're highly interdependent with in serving these customers, and how the supply chain that precedes you also you partner with them in a transforming way. What would you think of that? Would you be willing to be accountable to all of that? We will have information systems that you will design against these criteria. Do you think that would change your approach to business? If you didn't have trust, if you thought that someone arbitrarily was going to insert their own criteria, or that this would not be fairly implemented across the board, you'd say yes and mean no. You'd have to be invested in the development. Yeah. You decide who the stakeholders are. Let's discuss together who the stakeholders. I was training Israeli Air Force commanding generals. I was talking about this. They were nodding their heads. I said, are you doing this? And they said, absolutely. How do you do it? Everyone here, now listen carefully to the language. Everyone here gets a computer printout annually of the perceptions and the strength of feelings around those perceptions of all the people they interface with on a regular basis against the criteria they jointly agreed upon. and it comes for their eyes only. No one sees it. If they want a promotion, a salary increase, an advancement, a change of status, they have to show the data. And no one is promoted unless they have high marks from their subordinates. Do you think moral authority would be important?